This is Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. I'm Juliette Fromholt, and I am very happy to welcome our first guest into the studio this evening. He's going to be playing some tunes for us. We'll get to know him and find out about a new project. I think this is the first taste of the new stuff. I want to welcome Nathan Vesheko into the studio, a.k.a. Blushing Tree, and have him play a tune for us.
Said anything, yeah. Tied up in boxes all around me. Nobody said anything. Up in boxes all around me, all around me. What if I were to tell the only joke I learned in hell? It's not about us, it's not about trust, it's just me. Said anything, yeah. Died up in boxes all around me. Nobody said anything to me.
Blushing Tree, live in the WYSO studios. Hey, Nathan, welcome.
Hello.
Very happy to have you here.
Happy to be here. You know somebody's happy to be on the show when they do they don't just say hello, they say hello. They're excited to hear themselves in headphones and everything.
You know, we've got the whole thing going here with the headphones in the studios and whatnot.
It's true. It's legit.
Totally. Now, Blushing Tree is kind of your new project. You've got the debut EP in the works, and you sent me a couple of tracks that I absolutely loved, some rough mixes of some of those songs. Tell me, what was the decision to sort of branch off from the music you had been doing and start this project?
Well, thank you. I'm really glad you like those songs. It's funny because I was thinking to myself, you must be sly with your playlist, because right before I played, that Man Man song was talking about you can reinvent yourself. And that's, you know, that's definitely sort of the case with starting this Blushing Tree thing. And it was made to be like a band that could function the same way that, you know, like Nine Inch Nails is kind of sometimes just Trent Reznor and sometimes he's playing with a whole band, or like Bright Eyes when they were a thing, sometimes it was just Conor Oberst. It's meant to be that kind of thing that, you know, I can perform under that name, but also it can be a band when there is a band. Because basically I'm somebody who's played acoustic for a long, long time and always wanted a band, but circumstances, you know, everybody's schedules and stuff, it's just hard to get people to be a band centered around one person's songs or whatever. So after playing acoustic for a long time, strictly acoustic, solo, I just got to the point where I felt that I really wanted to start playing with something new, and the name sort of just came out of nowhere and felt right. And so, yeah, Blushing Tree is alive now.
When you decided to make that shift, was there a shift in mindset as far as your songwriting goes, since you're doing, you know, as opposed to you with an acoustic instrument, something that's a lot more orchestrated and composed? Did you tackle writing the songs differently?
Yeah, absolutely. What's funny is, like, it's two things that don't seem like they should go together, because one thing that I did with the Blushing Tree stuff that I've never done before, including with the song I just played, is I set up my recording gear. I have just like a little portable Pro Tools rig at home, just set up the gear and hooked up the keyboard or the guitar or whatever I was using, and just started writing a song and recording it as I went. So in other words, like, I didn't do what I've always done before, where I just write songs on the guitar and I have a pile of songs, and then I go in a studio or I'm recording at home and I'm getting through that pile. I just basically would like stand in front of the microphone and start singing. And so what seems like it shouldn't work well with that is I've also somehow kind of unconsciously tried to make music that's a little bit more like indie friendly and a little bit catchier and more like pop conscious, sort of all the things that people tend to like to listen to these days. That kind of just started coming out naturally. Like, I didn't sit with my guitar and my pen and paper and like, it's time to make it. Time to make whatever paltry version of Thriller I can do. It really just kind of, like, I stood in front of the microphone and just started singing stuff. And for some reason, it just sounded like a lot catchier than stuff I've done before, and a lot more, you know, like the more electronic elements and things like that.
And there's a decided R&B and new wave influence, I think, in based on what I've heard so far. Is that music that you have spent a lot of time listening to or have always gravitated toward, even if it's not necessarily in line with what you had been playing?
Yeah, absolutely. The soul part, especially the new wave part, I think I've always had, like, at home in my bedroom right now, I've got a couple CDs just like laying out on my recording gear. I don't know if I put them there kind of like a, one of those kind of law of attraction things where you want to attract that kind of thing to you. But the CDs that are lying around there are Purple Rain, Thriller, Songs from the Big Chair by Tears for Fears, Intervisions by Stevie Wonder, and this acoustic thing I really like by this guy named John Martin, like British guy, called Solid Air. And that's kind of like, without really trying on purpose, that's sort of like the mix of stuff, like the cauldron or brew, I guess, of what I've always liked. And the soul part especially, I kind of just looked at it like, you know, I think dreams that people have are a lot easier to achieve than they realize if they're just willing to kind of like actually write them out on a list and just be like, hey, I'd like to be on a radio show someday. Dream achieved, checkbox. Or hey, I'd like to win a music award someday. Or hey, I'd like to play this kind of show. Or I'd like to make this kind of album someday. And it seems really unattainable until you start actually getting specific about what you're looking for. And I just kind of realized, like, there's nothing stopping me from making this more kind of, like you said, that's a good mix, like soul and new wave kind of mixture of stuff that I've kind of always listened to, but maybe felt for a long time that I didn't have any right doing because I just was so used to playing acoustic guitar and stuff.
So was that intimidating, that first moment that you sort of set up the rig and started rolling and just singing and seeing what happened when you stepped away from your typical writing process?
Yeah.
Were you sort of in the mindset of, oh, this may not work?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, especially when you listen to stuff that you're doing that comes out real, because you know, if you write a song and you're thinking, I'd really like to, you know, you consciously think to yourself, I want to write a song that sounds like Bob Dylan or that sounds like whatever. Like, I've done that before. And so you're kind of aware that you're going to sound like something you love. But when you're just doing it real spontaneously and just letting it come out, then you listen back and sometimes it's more you, but sometimes it's even more like whatever you were just listening to. So like that one that I just played, I listened back to that and I was like, wow, I was listening to like a lot of James Blake lately around that time. And I was like, oh, well, that's clearly reflected in like whatever I just did there. And I think the only part that I've been real confident about doing this new stuff is it's still, I can't deny that it's still me talking about my life, my problems, my whatever, like the baggage that songwriters always end up writing about. So like bringing that to the table, I think makes it more comfortable and I don't feel as much like I'm going to fail because it's like, well, I know that I have stuff I want to talk about. So at least there's that.
At the core, no matter what the instrument or sounds are, it's still coming from you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So the EP that you're in the process of preparing, is that based on those recordings that you were doing on your own rig, or how did that come together?
It is, yeah. It's by now it's become involved with like actual studio recordings. I recorded a place in a town called Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. This guy, Jason Schaefer, he has a studio called Full Tilt Productions. And I've done the past couple things there, at least like the mixing and mastering if I recorded at home. So this one's kind of like that, the past few I've done where I start tracks at home, I do whatever I can do on my own, and then I come in with him and we work on whatever I couldn't do by myself. And actually just recently I decided to branch it out into being like a full-blown album instead of doing like an EP first. I only decided that literally like when I got back to town here this past week and,
and
looked at the pile of stuff that we'd been working on so far and said like, yeah, I could do a couple EPs and then do an album, but I think I'd rather just like make an album statement, the debut, like Blushing Tree statement, whatever it's going to be. So yeah, actually just decided and have like a couple people on a mailing list that contributed on this Indiegogo campaign I did. And they just got to find out some things before everybody else. Like I just told them the album title. So like, I like the fact that they're kind of like a secret society who knows some things about this that nobody else knows. Yeah.
That's got to feel good too. I'm always interested when you do the sort of fan funding model. What's that like to have people, especially sort of not just fund the project financially, but to sort of be with you through that process and, you know, that evolution of a project, you know, the idea of, oh, it was going to be an EP and now it's going to be a full length album, to have that society of folks that are with you on this journey. What's that been like for you?
It's been really great. And I've done it a couple times now, and each time that I've done it, I've felt that was like the biggest perk, is that you do share the journey in that way with people. Because when I was in Harrisburg just now, I was staying with my cousin and his wife, and their new parents. They were pregnant when I was staying with them. And it's sort of one of those things where like I don't have kids. So if you hear about people being pregnant or you hear about whatever experience people are having, you can kind of maybe imagine what that's like. But when I was like living, and obviously I still don't really know what it's like, but living with them, seeing day to day, like the journey of being pregnant, expecting parents for the first time and all that, it's nice. I can like understand a lot more of what they go through and how the process works and everything. And I think the crowdfunding stuff is kind of like that people see like not just the finished product, because you know artists try so hard to save face and look professional publicly on on their websites and everything before fans, and it shows. So like most times people just see the finished product and they don't know about any the fights that happened or any of the indecision or any of the mistakes.
They find out about it 20 years later on Behind the Music.
Right. Yeah. That's the only way. And so now, you know, like people, yeah, as I'm making stuff, they'll be like, oh yeah, he decided to not do the EP thing. So there's that. So people just kind of know the journey for better or worse as it's happening.
Is that hard as an artist to let people in on that part of the process, to not just present them with the finished, polished end result of all of the things that are happening in the background?
Yeah, I am real protective about like some of the secrets and the mysteries of, like, however my connection to the songwriting muse works and all that stuff, and protective about kind of like the album as a thing. Not if I start talking about this too long, we would go all night. But like, it reminds me of, like, I have a friend, Liz, and she's like 10 years younger than me. She's like in college now. And we had a conversation once where she said something that was really interesting. She said, my generation doesn't care about owning things. We just want to have experiences. And like, in a lot of ways, I really relate to that. But when it comes to this niche of like what I do, making albums, it's actually one of the few parts of life where I don't. It's hard to relate to it. Because she was referring to like spending 250 tickets to see like Bonnaroo for the weekend or whatever. And I was saying, like, how come people would be willing to do that, but they don't want to buy an album for $10 or whatever? And I think like the artifact of music is changing its value for a lot of people. And more so, they just want to, like, you want to be in the moment of like, you're in the room with this band. You're all sweating the same collective sweat and feeling the same sort of collective energy and all that. And I can appreciate that. I think it's beautiful. But at the same time, I'm so protective of like this art form that I've always loved, making an album, like making a document of the music. So yeah, like that's why I like sharing it with the people who helped out on Indiegogo. But at the same time, it's also why I don't want to like give away all the secrets of like how I do it or whatever. I don't want to let people in on everything, because some of it's just a thing that's like my cherished thing I like to do, you know.
It's the part of it that makes you continue to want to do it.
Right. Yeah. Because I love playing shows and stuff, but like that's it for me. Like recording, writing songs and recording songs. That's what I love the most, for sure.
So what does this summer and the rest of the year look like for you as you're preparing to, you know, release the album into the world? Are you going to keep focusing on writing and recording, or are you going to try to get out on the road a little bit once you have the physical product in hand?
I do certainly have the typical Nathan problem right now of like writing a lot of songs and wanting to keep recording. So like, I basically, Jason and I like finished most of the album there. When I go back to Harrisburg next month, I have some shows there and there's a little more recording to do, and then it'll come out end of May, beginning of June. But I'm already writing songs thinking of like, what's the second Blushing Tree album going to be like? So yeah, if I had my way, I probably would be recording all the time. But obviously there's plenty of reasons why that's impossible. So yeah, I mean, I'll be trying to play a lot of shows regionally here, because I like to keep a base here since a lot of my family lives here. And then playing sort of my other base in Harrisburg, where I have a little more family and friends and everything. And trying to just kind of hit up the East Coast in general as much as I can. Plan.
Is it hard when you're the type of artist that's writing and creating all of the time, when it comes to deciding what's going to make it on whatever the next release is? Is that hard to sort of pick and choose out of, you know, the catalog of material that you've been working with over, you know, a span of a couple of months or a year? Is it hard to then say, all right, these are the ones that are going to go out into the wild?
Yeah, it definitely is. That's a good way to look at it, going out in the wild, letting your babies mm-hmm. fly out of the nest mm-hmm. or whatever. Yeah, I think it's one of the good things. Well, one of the good and bad things about like writing about specific personal stuff, like if you're writing about a breakup or you're writing about a big life change or whatever, is like the songs that go towards that, if you're still feeling that, if you're still like in that mode, of course you just want people to hear your sad breakup songs. And then, so like, I have like other songs that I've had for a couple years that are about totally different things. Kind of like, some, I got interested in writing like kind of protest sort of songs, like socially conscious things for a while. And I still have more like that. And I would love to get them out there and sort of keep paying tribute to my hero Marvin Gaye and what's going on and that type of stuff that I love. But when you're in that mode of just like, you're just feeling it in your social life and you're like, no, I'm feeling it. No, I know that I have those other songs that are probably more useful to the world, but I just need people to feel what I'm feeling right now. So that's the only way that it kind of guides it, I guess. Yeah,
I get that. I get that. I mean, it's the same. It's the same principle why, you know, an album like, you know, the first one that comes to mind for me personally is Fleetwood Mac's Rumors. Mm, why yeah. that is such a successful album is that you're feeling it along with them and relating it to, you know, whatever they were going through when they were making that album. You're relating it to whatever you're going through.
Totally.
And that's very powerful.
Yeah, that and like I think of like the Adele album from a couple years ago that just like everybody bought because everybody must have had the same breakup that year. Like, but yeah, especially Rumors, man. Like, that's why you shouldn't. Nobody can top that as a breakup album. Like, who's ever going to top Rumors?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, if people want to keep tabs on where you are and the album and all of that good stuff, what's the best place for them to connect with you?
There's a couple that I use regularly. Like, I'm on Facebook a lot, and people can always just search Nathan Vashecko if they know how to spell it and just friend me. I like just meeting as many people as possible. But the Facebook page is facebook.com/blushingtree, and there's blushingtree.com. And I'm on like SoundCloud and Instagram and Twitter and all those too. But yeah, like if you go to Facebook and search Blushing Tree or just go to blushingtree.com, you'll find everything else on there.
Excellent. Yeah. And we'll get some links up there on our Facebook page. We're facebook.com/kaleidoscoperadio. Shall we do some more live music?
Yes.
All righty. We're going to take a quick break and let Nathan get over to the guitar. And we're going to hear some more live music from Blushing Tree here on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. Stick around. Lots more to come.
Hi, I'm Radio Basim, the host of a brand new show on 91.3 called Behind the Groove. Where else but YSO can you get 2 hours of the funkiest, hippest, booty-shaking music on the planet? Friday nights at 10. After Around the Fringe, get Behind the Groove on 91.3 WYSO. It's just fun with a K on the end.
We're back here on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. I'm Juliet Frumholt, joined in the studio by Nathan Vashecko, a.k.a. Blushing Tree, and he's going to play some more live music for us.
Listens to my call, shouldn't they all? No one listens to my call, I said, shouldn't they all? So I keep sending out the wind again, hoping that I come back soon. Some fire, I have some rain, bury your pain. There's a river running in my brain, and I'm feeling no pain, no, no, no pain. So I keep sending out the wind again, again, again. Hoping that I come back soon, and I know what I have to. Hoping this wind knows it too. Don't you ever, ever, ever close enough and you can hear time. So I keep ascending out the wind again, hoping that I come back soon. I know what I have to do. I'm hoping this wind knows it too.
I'm going to say a little something about this last one I'm going to do. This is another one that's going to be on the Blushing Tree album. First time I've ever performed it publicly. Most times people would play it and then they'd be like, that was the first time I did all right, didn't I? But I'm going to out myself beforehand. So this is earmarked for being the single for the Blushing Tree album. It's a song called Wilderness, I'm With You.
Atmosphere. Don't want me around, that's fair. Baby, while I got you here, can I tell you what I found out there? Baby, it's your heart that's wounded. All this talk about our problems, I feel it's okay. Get back. Let me be the one to say, hey, don't be so hard on your blues, yeah. I've walked a mile in your shoes, yeah. One thing that I have left to prove, it's that when I'm with you, I'm with you, yeah. Yeah, I've used up all my chances, girl. I know it's awful cold out there, but that don't mean I leave this world. Yeah, got a second wind and breath to spare. I never, never, never meant to use you. Let's talk about our problems. It got me feeling so great, and I wanna get back to the future. Let me be the one to say, hey, don't be so hard on your blues, yeah. I've walked a mile in your shoes, yeah. The one thing that I have left to prove, yeah. I'm with you now. I'm with you. Oh, oh, oh. You know I'm gonna prove it to you, girl. Been punishing myself for far too long, and only you can set me free. Maybe I can set me free. Somebody gotta set me free. Somebody gotta set me free. I'm with you, yeah. like yours ought to be in jail, because it's on the verge of being obscene. Move over, baby, give me the keys. I want to try to tame your little red love machine. Yeah, yeah. Da-da-dum, da-da-dum, yeah. Oh, ooh, 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 yeah, yeah, now, now. Da-da-dum, da-da-dum, yeah. When I'm with you, yeah, I'm with you, ooh, 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 yeah. Da-da-dum, da-da-dum, yeah. When I'm with you, when I'm with you, oh, oh.
Nathan Vasheko live in the WYSO studios playing music from his Blushing Tree project. Thank you so much for being here. This was awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, this was amazing.
My pleasure. Check him out. We've got all the links to ways you can connect with Nathan and with Blushing Tree on our Facebook page. We are facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. And we'll be keeping an eye out for the album when it's ready for the wild, as I said earlier.
Yes, I would love to come back when it is. I'll let you know.
Absolutely. Please do. Definitely. Check out Blushing Tree online. All the links at facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio right now. Let's take a listen to this one from Blitz and Trapper. This is from their new album, and it's called Shine On.